or false, you can't rent a car without a credit card? The answer may surprise you.
Hi, I'm Rob West. For most people, and for good or ill, credit cards are a part of everyday life. We think we know everything about them, but often that's not true. I'll talk about some things you may not know, and then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is MoneyWise on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Okay, so the first thing you may not know about credit cards is that the rewards most of them offer are really a double-edged sword. Sure, they're nice. Who doesn't want to earn a free airline ticket or get 2 to 5% cash back on purchases? But the value of those rewards is quickly gobbled up if you don't handle credit cards properly. The only way to do that is by paying them off in full every month. If you don't, the interest you pay will quickly add up to more than any rewards. That's why credit card companies love to hand them out. It's a big net gain for them. The next thing you may not know is that a credit card won't save you if you have a financial setback, like a job loss or the need to replace an expensive item. Believing it will prevents you from saving up an emergency fund. Think about it. If you don't have money on hand to meet an emergency, you have to borrow, usually by using a credit card, at very high interest. 28% isn't uncommon. So start saving now to avoid that. Set a goal of $1,500, then work your way up to 1 month's living expenses. And keep going until you have 3 to 6 months' worth in the bank. Never rely on a credit card for emergencies. The next thing you may not know about that piece of plastic in your wallet is that you don't need it to shop online or rent a car. Once upon a time, that was probably true for renting a car, but it's never been the case for buying online. The fact is, in most cases, a debit card will work just fine for those things. Now, in the case of a car rental, the company will probably put a hold for something like $500 on your debit card, just like they would with a credit card. So you have to make sure you have at least that much in the bank, or they won't hand you the keys. But otherwise, it shouldn't be a problem. Here's something else you probably didn't realize. You don't need a credit card to get rewards. Now, let me explain. You can give the reward to yourself by using cash instead of plastic. Studies show you'll save 10 to 30% by using cash because you know it's real money out of your pocket. You naturally spend less. And safe to say, you'll never get 30% cash back from your credit card company. The next thing you may not know is that having a store credit card, in sadly too many cases, won't result in big savings. Sure, a store card may come with a great introductory offer, like a 10 or 15% discount on your first purchase when you sign up for one of their cards. Now, why would they do that? Again, it's because many people take the discount, but then don't pay off the balance each month. They're stuck with huge interest payments, wiping out any savings. Store credit cards have some of the highest interest rates out there. They may actually make more money in interest than they do selling things. A store credit card is never a good idea unless you're relentless about paying it off every month. And even then, you don't need it. A regular credit or debit card works just fine. Now, I've probably saved the biggest thing you may not know about credit cards for last, and it's that you don't need a credit card to build credit. You can build a credit history just by paying your bills on time. Depending on your income, of course, you can even qualify for a mortgage by paying your rent, utilities, and perhaps a car loan on time every month. You may want to check with your landlord about having your payments reported to the credit bureaus. They won't necessarily do it, but they do have that option. Or you can pay a service to report them for you. But keep in mind, the reverse is also true. You can ruin your credit by not paying your bills on time. If you feel you must get a credit card to build up your credit history, well, you can get a secured card. It allows you to spend only the amount of money you preload into the account. Then make one purchase each month with the card for a budgeted item, and that's key, and you'll begin to build your credit history. Just make sure the issuer reports those transactions to the credit bureaus and that you pay it off in full every month. Most credit card companies offer a secured version. By the way, you can also build your credit history by becoming an authorized user of someone else's credit card, like a parent. You don't even have to use the card to get the benefit of the cardholder's payment history. So those are some things you may not have known about credit cards, and we hope you use them wisely. We'll be right back after this break with more on MoneyWise on American Family Radio.
Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Christian parents are on the hook today because they have to identify the threats to the value system that's being taught to their children in public schools. And their job is to protect their kids from these influences.
Tune in for Family Talk with Dr. James Dobson, weekdays at 6:30 a.m. and 9:30 p.m. on American Family Radio.
Thank you, everyone, for tuning in to our program. God's blessings to you all.
This is Frank Affney, host of Secure Freedom Radio. It's your personal, daily intelligence briefing about the challenges we face, how they're likely to affect you, and what we can do about them. You can find Secure Freedom Radio here every weeknight at 11 p.m. Eastern Time. Tune in to learn from our extraordinary experts what you need to know and will want to share. Join us for Secure Freedom Radio tonight at 11 Eastern, right here on AFR.
If you're investing for retirement or any other goal, you may be wondering if it's possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind no matter what's happening in the market. Sound Mind Investing has a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. SMI has helped tens of thousands of Christians learn to be wise and faithful stewards in the area of investing. Profit and peace of mind no matter what's happening in the market at soundmindinvesting.org.
What would you do?
Aunt Sadie, I appreciate your thought behind the gift card, but I just can't take it. I promise not to shop at Target because they allow men in areas that need to be private and protected for women and children. I hope you'll go to afa.net/target and learn about it. I'm not giving them my money.
Aunt Sadie didn't know about AFA's call to boycott Target, but she knows now, and so do you. Learn even more at afa.net/target. afa.net/target.
At MoneyWise, we are on a mission to educate, equip, and connect you and many others with the powerful financial answers found in God's Word through national radio programs, our app, website, and other resources. If you've benefited from MoneyWise and believe in this mission, would you consider becoming a monthly MoneyWise patron? Check out all the benefits of a MoneyWise patron's membership at moneywise.org and click Give on the homepage.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
Delighted to have you with us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host, taking your calls and questions today as we turn the corner from our opening topic and welcome any question on your mind. We'd love to hear from you. 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. We've got some lines open today. Pat Montague handling our phones today and would love to get you on the air with your question as we apply God's wisdom to whatever you're wrestling with today. Are you trying to finally get out of debt, especially with rising interest rates? Now more than ever, really critical to think about your debt repayment plan, debt management, debt settlement, debt snowball, what you might call the debt avalanche. Yes, that's actually a thing. Which one's the best for for you. Let's talk about it today. Also, your giving strategy. How do you think about giving with intentionality as you set your vision high and you surround yourself with the right relationships and then you make a plan for your giving, both systematic and sacrificial? What does that look like? We'd love to talk about it today. Maybe it's saving for the future, your investments in these challenging times. Interesting day in the market today, all green, and that's because the consumer price data just came out. Consumer prices rose 8.5% in July. Now, why would that be good news? Well, it was less than expected. Inflation pressures are beginning to ease a bit. You remember our number in June was 9.1. So 8.5 indicates that what a lot of economists were saying, including Bob Dahl, who joins us each week, and Jerry Boyer, our resident economist, believed that June was probably the peak and we would start to see inflation pressures ease. We would continue to head down ever so slowly, probably reverting to not our 2% target that the Fed and we have been accustomed to for a long time, but probably settling in around 4. We don't need to accept that. We're going to continue to work to get that down here in this country, but we're going to see elevated prices for a while. But the market is reacting positively to less than expected inflation pressures with that 8.5% July number. As a result, the Dow Jones, the S&P 500, and the NASDAQ all up between 1.5% and 2% today. So that's good news. We could sure use it, especially on top of the strong jobs number we had last week and better than expected second quarter earnings from most companies, probably 70% reporting better than expected earnings. All that would indicate that this economy is still, despite our challenges, doing fairly well. And if we can engineer a soft landing here, which still remains to be seen, that would certainly be a good thing. Hey, we'd love to hear from you today. Again, looks like we have two lines open, 800-525-7000. Coming up on the broadcast today, I'll tackle the topic of contentment. That's right. I think one of God's big ideas when we look at Scripture related to money and money management is this idea of contentment. How do we manage what God has entrusted to us, live within His provision, whatever that is, however little or however much, and do that with contentment? What does that look like? What is biblical contentment? The Apostle Paul talked a lot about it. I'll weigh in on that today, plus a few of your emails today. We appreciate your emails at questions@moneywise.org. They come in all day long. We try to tackle a few of them on the air each day. I will do that today. All right, looks like the phones are filling up, so let's get started. Back to the phones we go. Kim in Texas, you are our first caller today. Go right ahead.
Yes, I have a son with Down syndrome, and he is 17, and I turn 65 next year. We have a retirement check that I get for $1,600 for the next 10 years. I will not need, starting in January, I will not need that money in our budget. Mm-hmm. And I'm just wondering, do I buy life insurance with that or do I invest that? And where do I invest it so that my grown children will have something to take care of their sibling with when my husband and I are gone?
Yes. Do you have a special needs trust or any kind of legal instrument that you can use to? Okay. So I think that's something that you ought to really look at. I mean, this, as you probably know, is a legal arrangement and a fiduciary relationship that allows somebody in his position to continue to receive both the assets that have been accumulated for him, whether that's money that is, been placed in that or life insurance proceeds that would fund it. But it's going to preserve his eligibility for needs-based government benefits while at the same time making sure that those funds are available based on certain types of triggering events. So I think that's going to be really key. And I would visit with an estate attorney who specializes in these special needs type situations to make sure all of that is in place and thought through. In terms of the assets that will be available, does you're talking about, did you say a pension or an annuity payout? What do you have coming in?
A pension that will last another 10 years.
Another 10 years. Okay. And that currently you're just starting, you've been putting that away, or are you all living on that?
No, we've been using it to live on, but next year we won't need it anymore.
Okay.
Our things will be paid off.
Okay, so. Very good. Yeah. And what will you be receiving for the next 10 years, roughly annually? What would you be able to fund that account with?
Let's see, whatever. I mean, I have to do the math. It's right at $19,200.
Per year?
Per year.
Okay. So let's say there's $192,000 in there over 10 years, plus whatever it can grow to if it's invested. Is there needs that exist currently, or is this really all a future need that you're trying to plan for with regard to your son?
Future.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So I think, you know, as you all think about this, you know, do you think that will cover it? What are you anticipating needing for him, you know, down the road in terms of if his expenses are covered right now, do you see that changing at some point? Or is this really just for future medical needs? What is the total need that you're planning for on his behalf?
Well, I just want to make sure that my children have enough to, because they will, whoever takes care of him will have to have a larger house than,
sure,
you know, they'll be down to, you know, it's them and their husbands by then, or their wife by then. But when you take on someone else, you have to take on a larger house too, because,
yes,
You might be down to a two-bedroom, and that's, yeah, for guests when it,
yes,
comes.
That's right. Yeah, that makes sense. So it sounds like the $192,000 may not be enough, plus whatever it could grow to. So it would make sense to me, Kim, that you would do two things. One is you would buy that whole life insurance policy that at your death, you and your husband, there would be additional proceeds there that could fund that trust, and then take the balance of that $19,200 and just begin to systematically invest it, placing it in the trust, and then investing it in a stock and bond portfolio with a 10-year time horizon, so that when that time comes, there is enough money there for whoever is going to, you know, carry the majority of the financial burden with regard to his care, whether that means taking him in, you know, buying a bigger house. It's all there. But I think that's going to involve two things, both the financial planning side to anticipate how much you really need, which is going to drive the life insurance death benefit, plus, you know, what your goal is for the investments. And then the second piece is the planning around the legal structure that's going to make all that possible, which is likely going to be this special needs trust. We've got to take a break. You stay on the line. We'll finish up off the air, and we'll be right back on MoneyWise. Stay with us.
The Truth for Youth Bible is the entire New Testament and full-color comics that present the gospel and moral truths. But is it effective?
There's this girl in my school that always tried to talk to me about Jesus. I would never really listen to her because she didn't like to party or anything. One day she came up to me and said that Tim Todd was challenging young people to give away Truth for Youth Bibles in school. So she gave it to me, and I just want to thank you so much, because after reading it, I decided to give my heart to the Lord. My life is changed forever.
This week, Revival Fires International is giving a free Truth for Youth Bible to every student between 13 and 18 who promises to pass it along to a friend at school this year. Just call 800-733-4737. That's 800-733-4737 between 8:30 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. Central, or visit truthforyouth.com anytime.
45,000. That's how many times MoneyWise referred a listener to a Certified Kingdom Advisor, or CKA, last year. And for good reason. These are trusted financial, legal, and accounting professionals who have completed a rigorous certification program to ensure they provide biblically wise financial advice. You can find a local CKA professional in your area by going to moneywise.org and clicking the Find a CKA button on the homepage.
Christian Healthcare Ministries enables believers to show love for one another by sharing each other's health costs. Through CHM's voluntary health cost sharing programs, members uplift each other spiritually and financially. CHM is an eligible option under the Affordable Care Act and a Better Business Bureau accredited charity. Interested? Learn more by calling 800-791-6225 or online at chministries.org.
For over 40 years, American Family Association has stood for righteousness and God's truth in our nation.
American Family Association Executive Vice President Ed Vitagliano.
One important way you can join us in the battle is through a charitable gift annuity with the AFA Foundation. The charitable gift annuity benefits you, and it benefits the culture-transforming work of American Family Association.
Phone 800-326-4543, extension 345.
How should we as Christians think about investing? What if we could invest our money in a way that aligns with what we believe? At Eventide, we believe it is possible to love God and love our neighbor in the very practice of investing. We design investments for performance and a better world so you can invest for the future with a sense of wholeness and purpose. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at investeventide.com.
Thanks for joining us today on MoneyWise at American Family Radio. What a delight to talk to Kim. During the break, we had a chance to finish up with a special needs son trying to plan for his care in the future when she and her husband are gone, when their children are providing responsibility for their special needs son's care, and perhaps even needing to have a bigger home and making sure enough resources are there. What we decided was she needs to really do three things. Number one is, as this pension money of $19,200 is coming available, they don't need it and won't need it for the next 10 years. That $192,000 needs to be invested. They're going to get a certified kingdom advisor to help them with that. The second is they're going to get with an estate attorney to draw up a special needs trust to house this money and the investments. And then third, consider what the ultimate goal is. How much do they need when they pass away so they feel like there's adequate resources to expand a home and provide for their son's care? Is that $500,000? Is it $250,000? And that's going to determine whether they need an additional whole life insurance policy or a single whole life insurance policy to be able to kick in and provide beyond what they can accumulate over the next decade. So a lot of thoughts there, but great to do that planning now so that when the Lord calls them home, they have provided for their son. And Kim, we're so thankful for your call today. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. We have some great questions coming up here, but we do have one line open, perhaps one just for your question. Give us a call. Let's head to Lori. You're next on the program. Go right ahead.
Hi. I've heard you talk about I-bonds and recommend them. I'm 75. Yeah. I have about $60,000 in savings, and half of it, about $14,000, is for an emergency fund, and then the rest is in savings. I still work full-time, but I'm kind of leery with the way the government is. Do you think it's a... Yeah. I'm sure you wouldn't recommend it. I guess it's kind of a redundant question.
That's okay. It's worth asking because I totally get what you're saying. And I would agree with you. There's plenty of challenges out there, both economically and politically and otherwise. And despite that, I believe it is a great investment because it's backed by the full faith and credit of the United States government. You could begin to question, well, with the debt skyrocketing and some of the decisions we're making, what is the full faith and credit of the United States government worth? And I'd say it's still worth a lot. We're the biggest and largest, based on pretty much any measurement you look at, economy in the world. Yes, we have our challenges, inflation, namely right now, debt, which I think, a debt crisis down the road is plausible. We're going to have to deal with that, not on the near-term horizon. Do I see a collapse of the U.S. economy, the banking system, anything like that? No. So I think, having this type of investment makes a lot of sense because there's really, near zero risk because the U.S. would have to default, number one. And, the time horizon is fairly short. I mean, although these are 20-year bonds that renew for an additional 10 years, you can redeem them after 12 months. And the rate on them, given the safety with the U.S. backing at 9.62%, at least through the end of October, and then adjusting to something probably lower than that, but probably not a whole lot lower in November, is better than you're going to get anywhere else with that degree of safety. So I think, just to reassure you, at least from my perspective, I think it is a wise investment, very safe and sound, and a phenomenal rate. And as you said, with $65,000 in savings, but only 14 of that really earmarked as your true emergency fund, which I would say is not, in my view, not available for this, because it does require a one-year runway at a minimum. The definition of an emergency fund is it's available and liquid for the unexpected in the immediate time horizon. Then the rest of that money, which, you know, roughly 51,000, I think, would be a great option here. And you could put in up to 10,000 per person per year. So you alone, 10,000. If you're married, up to 20,000 for the calendar year 2022. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. Do you think that would be 10,000 would be too much or not, you know?
If you've got 51,000 in cash that's not earmarked for emergencies and really just sitting there, it's losing purchasing power, you know, as of, I was just talking about CPI, the consumer prices rose 8.5% year over year in July. And, you know, that's a big uptick, which means that money that's sitting in cash is essentially losing value every month. So getting that to work, 10,000 of that, I think makes a lot of sense.
Do I go through the bank to do that?
You don't. You have to go directly to the Treasury because you're buying these electronic bonds directly from the government. So you would do that at one website, and it's treasurydirect.gov, treasurydirect.gov. Click on the Series I bonds when you get there, and it'll walk you through it. I did it just the other day for a family member, and you open an account, you electronically transfer the funds in, that purchases the bonds. You can monitor them. The interest accrues monthly, but you only receive it once you redeem the bonds at some point beyond a year. If it's less than 5 years, as a penalty, you'll give back 3 months worth of interest. But even then, that's still a great rate given the safety.
All right. Thank you so much.
All right. God bless you. We appreciate your call today. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Let's head to, back to Texas. Dennis, thanks for calling. Go right ahead.
Hello. How are you doing today?
I'm great.
Good deal. Anyway, I have a comment. As far as building credit, I have a credit building card, which I use, and it has built my credit up quite a lot, almost 200 points. It was down to 600. Now it's almost up to 800. But my point is, I don't agree with having a house or actually anything, buying anything you can't afford to pay cash for. I don't like being in debt, period. And it's a little bit of a joke to say you own a house when actually the mortgage company owns it.
Sure.
So. Yeah. What I'm saying is I live in an RV. I'm very happy. I live in 120 square feet. But my thoughts are it might be wise for somebody to, instead of buy a house and mortgage it, just get an RV. Don't rent an apartment. That's money down the drain right there. But wait until they can build up enough cash to get the house they want, which, you know, you don't have to get a super fancy house, but a decent house.
Yeah, let's do this, Dennis. I love your thoughts, and I want to make sure you are able to express them fully. So stay with us. We'll be right back after this break.
You probably have a strategy for your finances, your career, even your retirement. But do you have a strategy for your giving? At the National Christian Foundation, we can help you create a giving strategy to inspire your family, maximize your resources, and leave a lasting legacy of faith. To learn how, visit moneywise.org/NCF.
Can we trust the Bible?
He says, we saw this. And that sets the Bible apart from almost everything else in the ancient world and its religious pantheon of gods and goddesses.
The God Who Speaks, the important documentary from the American Family Association, is now available to watch for free on AFA's brand new streaming platform. Go to thegodwhospeaks.org to watch this award-winning film today. Thegodwhospeaks.org.
If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes be like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. soundmindinvesting.org.
When it comes to caring for your family, there's one critically important thing many people fail to do before the Lord calls them home. That one thing is to set your house in order. Organize important documents and account information for your loved ones, create a will, and more. If it sounds intimidating, don't worry. The 5-week Set Your House in Order study makes it easy with step-by-step instructions. And you can request your copy with your gift of $25 or more at moneywise.org/house.
Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, a growing national network of pastors committed to the authority of Scripture and preaching the whole counsel of God. We believe biblical obedience is the foundation for revival, and impacting our culture for Christ is our duty. For too long, the pulpits of America have been silent on the important issues such as marriage and family and assault on our liberty. Join us in the battle for truth on Stand in the Gap weekend, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. on American Family Radio, and visit us at AmericanPastorsNetwork.org.
Christian Healthcare Ministries enables believers to meet their healthcare costs affordably, biblically, and compassionately. It's not insurance, but a voluntary cost-sharing ministry based on the biblical example of Christians sharing each other's needs. And members aren't fined under the law for not having health insurance. Christian Healthcare Ministries might be your health cost solution. Call 800-791-6225 or visit chministries.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Hey, great to have you today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio, where we apply God's wisdom to your financial decisions and choices. Think about this. You know, money, the way we handle it, is really the training ground of the heart. Money is a reflection, or the way we use it is a reflection of what's important to us. The question is, what story does our money management tell about what we value, what our priorities are, where God is taking us? Because remember, money is a tool to accomplish His purposes. Well, together each day we gather here to explore biblical principles and apply them to the decisions and choices you're making financially. Just before the break, we were talking to Dennis in Texas. He made a comment, you know, let's try not to borrow. If at all possible, he said, I live in a 120 square foot RV. I'd done that, so I don't have to get a mortgage, because keep in mind, when you have a mortgage, you don't really own your home. You have your name's on the deed, but obviously you have a lien against it that you have to satisfy in order to sell it. And you know, Dennis makes a great point. You know, especially if we have a conviction around being debt-free, then I would say absolutely go for that. Apart from that, I think we need to use debt wisely. Now, there are clear warnings throughout Scripture about the use of debt. I don't think borrowing is a sin, but there are clear warnings. It changes the relationship. Remember, it says in the Bible, the borrower is the slave to the lender. That's a change in the relationship. We see that debt was a burden, in some cases a curse in the Bible. So we've got to heed that warning. And how do we then approach that in today's modern personal finance? Well, I think we do things like only borrow for appreciating assets. And I would put a house in that category, a business in that category, potentially a college education. And there's a big asterisk on the end of that one to make sure that you actually have a job that's going to allow you to pay that off in a reasonable period of time. And I would do it only as a last resort. But it doesn't mean we borrow to fund lifestyle and even cars to the best of our ability. Those are depreciating assets. We also don't want to borrow if we're going to rob God of the opportunity to provide. We want to make sure we have complete spousal unity. So I think when we apply some of these rules around borrowing, and we find ourselves on our knees saying, Lord, what would you have me to do? Making sure that we have an absolute commitment to repay because it fits into our budget, the debt service, and the asset is always enough to satisfy the debt, then I think we have the ability to move forward in that way. But we've always got to be on our guard. And so, Dennis, I think you make a great point. We certainly appreciate you weighing in on the show today. And thank you for being a part. All right, let's head to, we'll stay in Texas. Looks like that's where our calls are coming from primarily today. By the way, if you want to get in on the conversation, 800-525-7000. Jose, what is your question? How can I help you, sir?
Can you hear me good?
I sure can. Yes, sir.
Great. My name is Jose, as I mentioned, and I am just calling about a concept I heard, I never heard before, but I think it's helpful to me. Just wanted to know your idea on that, about the budget, the home budget. They were advising that after the 10% for a person or a family to always think of the other 90% as a 50, 30, and 20 system. Have you heard of that?
I have, yeah. It's a popular approach to budgeting called the 50-30-20 approach. And essentially what you're saying is you're going to modify it slightly, which I like your modification. You said, let's give 10% right off the top, a systematic giving based on a proportionate to God's provision. And I think that's a great starting point. I don't think we should see that as an ending point, though. My friend Randy Alcorn, the author, calls the tithe the training wheels of giving. And so let's start there. But yeah, let's say we were to take that off the top. And then with the remainder, looking at 50, 30, and 20, well, how does that allocate? Well, the idea behind this concept is then you would take of your after-tax income, in this case, after your giving as well, you'd put 50% toward your needs, 30% toward your wants, and 20% towards savings, or some people will say savings and debt repayment. And it's just an interesting way to think about your budgeting if you can order your finances in that way. And I think for most people, Jose, it'd be an interesting exercise as you look at your current spending plan or your budget. And if you don't have one, you got to take the time to figure out what am I spending. But once you have that captured, to be able to analyze that and say, how much am I spending on needs? How much am I spending on wants? And how much do I actually have going towards savings or savings and debt repayment? And I think it will be eye-opening, and perhaps for some, they might say, I need to dial one of these categories back. But essentially, Jose, what you've uncovered is just an approach to budgeting that I think can be helpful for some folks just to make sure they're not getting any one area out of line. Does that make sense?
Yes, and so being that that's the first time that I hear of that, but I wonder, I mean, I like it because, as I mentioned, that's the first time that I hear of it, but would you know of any other systems aside from that that would help us allocate our budget, our personal budget?
Yeah. You know, the other approach is to look at a recommended percentage based on the budget category. So there will be a lot of folks out there. If you just Google budget guidelines, what you will see is a whole host of folks that provide budget guidelines based on the category. So a typical budget guideline would say, you know, don't spend more than 35% on the entire housing category. So 25% for the principal, interest, taxes, and insurance payment, and then another 10% to, you know, for, you know, putting some money away for home maintenance and, you know, various other expenses that you have. Don't spend more than 15% on transportation, no more than 20% on food, 5% on utilities, 5% on clothing, 3% on medical. So you'll find a number of budget guidelines that just allow you to overlay them to your budget to say, is there any one category where I'm spending too much? And therefore, that might provide me some insight into where I need to cut back. At the end of the day, as long as it balances 100, you know, to 100%, you're not overspending. And there's margin in there as a part of that, meaning after the bills are paid, you have something left over so you can pursue your goals, whether that's accelerating your debt payoff, fully funding your emergency fund, saving for a car purchase or a college education or a down payment on a house. All of that typically comes out of your margin, and so you need to make sure that's there. But I would say in addition to this 50-30-20, if you just Google budget guidelines, that might be an interesting thing for you as well, which actually breaks it down further into the recommended percentages for each budget category. Does that make sense?
Is there another one aside from the 50-30-20 that you actually, you personally would recommend?
Not necessarily. I think, for me, it's a matter of starting with my values and stepping back, Julie and I, and saying, what is it we're trying to accomplish? What are the values that are most important to us? Well, we want to live simply, and we want to live debt-free, and we want to be able to give generously. And then put those big rocks, if you will, first. We want to save 10 to 15% for retirement. We want to give at this level. These are the things that are most important to us. And then we want to live on the rest. And at that point, it's just a matter of making sure your budget balances. It's covering those things that are most important. And then you're able to live within your means on the rest. Jose, thanks for your call today. 800-525-7000. We've got some lines open. We'll be right back on MoneyWise on American Family Radio.
Washington Watch advances a culture where human life is valued and religious liberty thrives.
Hello, this is Tony Perkins, host of Washington Watch, right here on the American Family Radio Network, inviting you to join us each weekend for the weekend edition of Washington Watch for the latest from our nation's capital on what is happening as it pertains to faith, family, and freedom. You'll hear from policymakers, congressional leaders, and others each day, 4 p.m. Central Time. Be there.
Is your success in life being stolen? Here's Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Unbelief is involved in every single sin. Why did Eve eat the forbidden fruit? Because she believed the devil's lie rather than God's truth. Hey, if you don't believe God, you'll never be a success.
Learn what real success can be like. Join Pastor Jeff Shreve on From His Heart each weeknight at 6 Central here on American Family Radio.
Siri, what's the best way to save for college?
I'm not sure.
Well, what does the Bible say about co-signing for a loan or investing for retirement?
I don't know that either, but you can find those answers on the free MoneyWise app.
Really?
Sure. You can connect with the online community and get answers and encouragement from MoneyWise coaches.
That sounds great. Siri, download the MoneyWise app.
Got it. Learn more at MoneyWise.org.
Investing is more than just returns. It's an expression of who you are and what you value. Does the way you invest your money reflect your identity as a Christian? At Eventide, we design investments for performance and a better world, so you can invest with the confidence to reach your financial goals while remaining true to your Christian values and commitments. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More is available at investeventide.com. That's investeventide.com.
Great to have you with us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio as we apply God's wisdom to your financial decisions and choices. We were just talking with Jose before the break, and this is a great time to mention, as Jose was raising the question about budgeting and the best way to establish your budget and any rules of thumb, it's a great time to mention the MoneyWise app. Our team of developers spent several years building the MoneyWise app to be the very best, in my view, money management system out there that offers simplicity with a beautiful design, but with flexibility as well. So you can choose the money management system that best fits your personality. Do you want to be hands-on or hands-off? Do you want to be directional or detailed? We've got a system for you that will fit exactly what you're looking for with all the modern securities and conveniences where you can connect electronically to all of your institutions, have your transactions downloaded automatically, set up a budget, monitor it, and even, if you want to, go kind of all the way toward the detailed approach, use our digital envelope system where you can see at any moment what's left in each of your envelopes using the tried and true envelope system that was popularized by the late Larry Burkett in a modern smartphone expression. Well, it's all there in the MoneyWise app. Perhaps you can download it today. Just head to your app store, whether that's the Apple App Store or Google Play. Just search for MoneyWise Biblical Finance. By the way, when you get into the app, you'll see all of our content, broadcast archives, and our MoneyWise community, where you can post a question and get an answer from another steward on the journey or one of our coaches. Again, it's called MoneyWise Biblical Finance, and you can download it today. All right, back to the phones we go. West Virginia, Obi, thank you for calling. Go right ahead.
Yes, sir. I would like to know what your opinion is concerning reverse mortgages.
Yeah, you know, I'm not a huge fan of reverse mortgages, but I also believe they have a place. And so, you know, it might sound like I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth, so let me explain. The reason I don't like them is that, you know, they tend to be fairly expensive. So, you know, you will find when you get a reverse mortgage that not only do you have the, you know, prevailing interest rates, which are typically a bit higher than what you might find with a conventional mortgage, but you also have a whole lot of other charges, FHA insurance charges, closing costs, origination, then you've got monthly fees and so forth. And so, you know, from that standpoint, it is fairly expensive. You also, you know, just have to recognize that it, you know, is going to change the situation with regard to an inheritance. So if you wanted somebody to be able to inherit the house, they're going to have to satisfy the note before they would be able to do so. You obviously, you know, have to continue to maintain the taxes and insurance and so forth as well. The benefit, though, is that, you know, if there's a gap between the income that you have and, you know, what your needs are to maintain your lifestyle, and you're sitting on this huge asset that either is largely paid for or, you know, has a good bit of equity, more than 50%, you know, then it's a way to begin to supplement your income by tapping into some of that equity, as long as you understand kind of what you're getting into. So it allows you to stay in your home. You know, you won't, you know, have to worry about, you know, making a mortgage payment. You can actually supplement your income to secure your retirement, you know, things like that. So I think, you know, you've just got to look at the situation and say, is there a way to do it without funding our lifestyle with debt? Should we consider downsizing? You know, should we, if we're going to eventually pass this on to our heirs, do they want to buy it? And, you know, we rent it back from them. I mean, what are the options that you might consider? And if you really feel like, no, this is where we want to stay, we want to be here, you know, for a long time, we've got the equity here, but we really just need some additional income to have a little bit of flexibility and being able to do some of the things we want to do in this season of life, then that's where a reverse mortgage can come in. They're not all created equal, though, so I do your homework just to make sure that, you know, you try to get the fees as low as possible. But at the end of the day, you know, I like to try to avoid using debt as much as possible. And so I think for that reason, it would not be my starting point. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. I appreciate your information. And I'm completely ignorant of the ramifications of taking a reverse mortgage. I mean, they some of the advertisements make them sound very good, you know. So
sure.
I just wanted to know what your take on it is. At present, you know, we are getting along on what we are receiving as far as income. So I definitely, from what your information you're giving me, I definitely don't want to move in that direction presently. We do own, we have no debt whatsoever, and so that's a benefit. And if we need to go in that direction, it sounds like that would probably be one of your last resorts.
It would be, but I wouldn't take it off the table because, again, you know, if you get to that point where you say we just need more to secure our finances and, you know, have enough to cover our expenses and we want to stay in our home and we don't have to worry about if the balance exceeds our home's value, you know, that's where a reverse mortgage could actually make some sense as long as you understand the implications with regard to inheritance, the costs associated with it, you know, and any kind of impact on other retirement benefits, you know, which means it could affect your ability to qualify for instance, needs-based government programs like Medicaid or SSI, things like that. So it's important to just understand the ramifications there. And then just understand that these are complicated. So there's a lot of rules and caveats. So you really want to do your homework and make sure you get into the right one. But hopefully that helps you, Obi. I like the fact that you would not use this as the default option by any means. It sounds like you guys are getting along just fine. But perhaps as a fallback plan, I think that's probably a good way to think about it. We appreciate you checking in with us today. God bless you, sir. 800-525-7000. Before we go back to the phones, you know, as I shared earlier, I think as we look at the Council of Scripture, one of God's big ideas related to money management is contentment. You know, life is full of choices. Obviously, some are more significant than others. But, you know, as we think about our money management, think about the choice of being content or not. Contentment is really a big picture kind of attitude, and the Bible has a ton to say on it. For the Apostle Paul, being content meant having the ability to weather all kinds of life storms without fear or worry. Listen to his words in Philippians 4:11. He says, I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. Well, what was Paul's secret for being content in all circumstances? How does he do that? Well, I think perhaps Proverbs 19:23 has part of the answer, and here's it, what it says. The fear of the Lord leads to life. Then one rests content, untouched by trouble. Let me read that again. The fear of the Lord leads to life. Then one rests content, untouched by trouble. Like Paul, you and I can choose to be content in every circumstance, rich or poor, happy or sad, easy or difficult, because as Christ followers, our position in Christ never changes. You know, circumstances ebb and flow like the stock market, but who are we in Christ or who we are in Christ never budges. You know, we're saved by grace and our eternal future is secure. So this can and should change our perspective on everyday life. You know, as we look at that verse that I just mentioned, the fear of the Lord leads to life. Well, fear in this case means trust, honor, awe. We trust and obey and respect the Lord because he's our master, our holy Lord. This trust leads to life or flourishing. It's like spiritual confidence. Then as a result of fearing the Lord, the verse says, well, one rests content, untouched by trouble. That doesn't mean we won't face trouble. I think it means trouble can't destroy us spiritually. So we choose to be content. Another way to understand your choice to be content or not is to understand what the opposite looks like. The opposite of contentment is to be dissatisfied, disappointed, and unhappy. It's actually worse than that. Proverbs 27:20 says, death and destruction are never satisfied. So being discontented is right down there with death and destruction, not something we want in our lives. In Ecclesiastes 5:10, we see another problem with discontent, and that is a lack of meaning. Whoever loves money never has enough. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with their income. This, too, is meaningless. If what we want or what we have is all that matters, then we can never really be content, and we're courting death and destruction in our hearts. The Bible confirms that in God's economy, material things are meaningless by themselves. Instead, as Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, we're supposed to seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things, meaning the things we really need, will be given to us as well. The question to ask then is this: Do you choose to be content? It is the better way to live, understanding that you can rest in the Lord because He is enough. No matter what circumstances you're facing, God can satisfy all your needs according to His riches in glory. As you consider your choice today to be content or not to be content, I pray for you Psalm 90:14, that God will satisfy you in the morning with His unfailing love, that you may sing for joy and be glad all of your days. I hope that's an encouragement to you today. Hey folks, thanks for being along with us today. What a privilege to be able to come alongside you each day, encourage you, share with you, hear your joys and struggles, to answer your questions. We're grateful for the privilege. Let me just tell you that MoneyWise is a partnership with American Family Radio. So thankful for the team at AFR and AFA and the chance we have to do this every day. Also want to say thank you to Pat Montague, Devin Patrick, and Robert Sutherland. We appreciate you being along with us as well. Would you come back and join us again tomorrow? Lord willing, I'll be here and we'll see you then. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.